Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10x points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards? A free flight? A room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions.
Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. In recent weeks, we've really focused on some ways that listeners can boost their income. So whether that's through starting your own side business and growing your network like Holla talked about, or when we talked with local realtor Alan about diving into investing in real estate, well, what better way to test the waters? While you are away, your home could also earn extra income.
That's right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you're traveling, because that's all you need to become an Airbnb host. It's a lot easier than you think, and you don't need to Airbnb your entire house. You could just host your extra spare room. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing imposter syndrome, rental bidding wars, and costly cookouts.
So when you say costly cookouts, it does make me think of our local fast food chain. And it's not our local fast food chain.
Based out of North Carolina, I believe.
They are in the Southeast, though, so you may not have come across a cookout. But the reason I bring them up is because they're ridiculous. You can get a side of like two corn dogs or something like that, or a milkshake as a side item.
Yeah.
Not the most healthy.
No, it's not.
Type of place to visit, but also the kind of place that you might visit down here in the South. I don't know. But we are going to talk about costly cookouts. And by the way, dude, here we go. This is our first episode that we are recording here in the new space, in the new dig.
It's different because there is like a much bigger window behind you now, and so
So you're used to seeing just a panel of acoustic.
That's right.
Material behind me,
And so now there's like light coming from behind your
you
head.
Like it?
I love the light in this new office. So it's this garage apartment. And that we're renting in someone that we kind of peripherally new in the back of their house, and it's delightful, man. Like we put it together earlier this week, and this is the first episode we're literally recording here, but it's been a blast getting settled in here kind of shaking things up.
Yeah, we spent the last couple of days setting up, acoustically treating the space. The number of rugs that we have in here is kind of ridiculous because we recently moved, and so kind of leftover rug pads and rugs that we weren't going to use in the new space, we kind of ended up over here, and that's a good thing from an acoustic standpoint. But I'm really pumped. I'm so pumped to be here.
Well, and you rode your bike to work for
specifically because
normally,
yeah,
you just walk outside and walk downstairs.
Like the past 15 years, I have never worked at an offsite office. I've worked for myself, which means that I've had a home office. Last few years, you and I have been working out of the basement where we actually kind of built out an office, but it was still connected to my home. This is literally the first time I have worked offsite, not at home, at a different office in 15 years.
How does it feel?
It feels amazing because truly, like, I really am looking forward to the rhythms of being able to hop on my bike and cover some distance, go somewhere else, work, and then return home. And yeah. I don't know, just to be able to kind of mentally reset.
There's something about that. There's really something about a really, hopefully, short commute that actually, I think from a certain standpoint, actually gets you prepared for work and gives you that kind of that breathing room.
It clears the mind
before
a
and
bit.
After. Yeah.
Yeah. And
so, so,
like,
but I've been commuting my car, by the way, for just a few days because, you know, our move happens tomorrow.
That's right.
Which is exciting. But so I don't recommend it. It's one of those things where I'm really glad that I'm going to be also biking into this office shortly because
pretty soon it's going to be both of us, man.
Car commutes. The only good thing about them is I've been able to listen to more podcasts. That's like literally the only thing.
You're like subscribing to new shows. You're just like, I've got all this time.
Exactly.
As you're driving like 45. I mean, with traffic, I bet it's close to an hour.
Yeah, it can be.
Ugh. So yeah, we are all set up here though, but we wanted to share with folks that this is the first episode.
And if you don't follow us on Instagram, you should go do that at How to Money Pod because Matt has been posting a few kind of behind the scenes office setup stuff and we'll
get a feel for what it looks like.
We'll be posting more shenanigans from our new setup and neighborhood in the near future. So yeah, we'd love to keep in touch with you there. But Matt, let's move on to the Friday Flight sampling of stories we found interesting this week and how they pertain to people's personal finances. And let's start by talking taxes, everyone's favorite subject.
Specifically the IRS, right? Everyone's favorite government agency.
Exactly. The IRS still has a backlog of unprocessed returns, 21 million of them to be exact, although the IRS quibbles and says, it's less than 20 million now. And it's like, okay.
They're like, as of a couple of weeks ago, we got under 20 million.
It's like, congratulations. It's still a lot of people who are waiting on money. But
it's like somebody who wins the lottery and you're like, oh my gosh, dude, you won 21. And they're like, actually, it was 19. It was only 19.5 million. You're like, shut up. It's still way too much.
Yeah. Let's not talk about numbers when we're talking about numbers to that extent.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's comforting or not for people to realize maybe that if they haven't gotten their refund, they are not alone. Like there's a lot of other people in that
you
same situation.
And your 20 million friends.
Exactly. Are all in the same crappy position. But yeah, if you filed a paper return, we don't necessarily have good news for you because those backups are taking longer to resolve. But here's the thing. Don't try calling the IRS to check in on the status of your refund. That's going to lead to hours, potentially days, maybe weeks of wasted time because there's such a backlog in even answering or returning phone calls. So instead, we would suggest checking the Where's My Refund tool that the IRS has. We'll put a link to that in the show notes, but you kind of type in a couple of personal items and they will give you an update on kind of where things stand. Other than that, there's just no way, sadly, to really speed that up.
That's right. Yeah, actually, so speaking of returns, let's shift gears here. It turns out that stores are paying folks to not return items that they've bought. There's an article in CNN, and they discussed how more retailers are considering giving full refunds, but not actually asking for the item back, whatever it is that you purchased. Amazon, they've done this with specific items for years. And, you know, like every once in a while, depending on the item, depending on like the price and the cost of shipping specifically, like Amazon will give you your money back without requiring you to send the product back. And that's because returns can be a costly annoyance to these different companies. And more companies are considering adopting similar returnless return policies. And surprisingly, many of these actual companies, they've got too much product on hand right now anyway, so they don't even want their stuff back at all.
Yeah, that's right. So, and that's a weird conundrum because we've been in this like era of supply chain disruptions, right? Where we have seen a lot of these companies saying, we don't have the product on hand that you need. And it's kind of caused some of the inflation that we've seen. And it's just had a major impact on our society. Mm-hmm. But we're starting to see something called the bullwhip effect, which actually means that things are catching up and actually have more than caught up. So you might even be in luck if you're looking for a deal on items like TVs, furniture, maybe some of those other bigger ticket items because, yeah, rising retail inventory is a legitimate thing happening right now. So basically, yeah, there was high demand and low supply during the heart of the pandemic, but now manufacturing and supply chains, they're becoming less of an issue pretty quickly. And there's just less demand for some of those goods now.
That's right.
That everything costs more. And so the world has kind of entered a new post-pandemic era. And so, yeah, the bottom line is you might be able to score some great deals at Target, Best Buy, Urban Outfitters, wherever you like to shop, plenty of other places too. And this could be helpful on this like macro level too, Matt, when it comes to inflation. I think seeing these retailers, I'm sure they don't like having too much inventory, but when it comes to the rate of inflation in general, as there's more stuff on hand and then less demand for that stuff,
that's right,
prices aren't going to continue going up at the same rate. So we could be kind of past that apex of inflation, and I hope that's the case.
Yeah, well, and it's not that people are spending less money in general. I mean, because folks are spending their money, they're just spending it on different things, right? Like folks are spending more money now on travel and in other areas. So hopefully, yeah, we won't see the prices continue to inflate and to increase when it comes to things like televisions.
Yeah, but even like when you talk about travel and gas, those are two things that are often time specific, and summer is the most expensive time for both of those things anyway. So as we move into the fall, just kind of that natural propensity mm-hmm. to travel less, drive less is going to kick in, resulting hopefully
looking to the fall. This is like barely summertime right here. Let's keep moving. There was this interesting story over in Refinery 29 about imposter syndrome and specifically how it's costing us money. Man, like I feel like most folks have heard of this concept by now, but it's basically when you don't believe yourself to be as competent and as skilled as you actually are. You could see how that might be a problem when it comes to getting paid what you're worth as well, right? And so, yeah, if you don't think you're worth a whole lot, you're going to have a hard time asking for a raise. Mm-hmm. If you feel like you're just lucky enough to have a job, then your ability and your desire to ask for a solid pay jump it's likely going to be greatly diminished. But here's the thing, imposter syndrome is a real thing. We're not going to say that it doesn't exist. I think we all feel it to some extent. I think when we started this show, when we started the podcast, we felt it in a pretty big way. We still feel it now sometimes, even like setting up this office. It's like, oh man, are we actually big boys now, or are we just pretending to be big boys? We
moved out of mom's basement and now we're
that's right,
in a legit space.
And to an extent, I think it creates a drive in us to create something better. It kind of calls us up into this like a higher level of creation. And I think that part of imposter syndrome can be a good thing, but we do not want this concept, this idea, this phenomena to keep you from being able to get a raise. We don't want it to bog you down to the point to where you're unable to get paid appropriately for whatever it is that you do. And another interesting part too of the article, where it was talking about how this can have an impact not just on what you're earning, but just on your personal finances in general, where you feel completely overwhelmed. You don't feel like you are, like that you have the capacity to take on your personal finances. And mm-hmm. so because of that, sometimes you might stick your head in the sand. But those problems still exist. There are still bills you have to pay, rates you have to negotiate, investing your money, figuring out how it is that you're going to do that. And so it's worth pointing out that this is aligns 100% with the mission of our show, which is to make sure that folks feel empowered to where they feel that they are not pretending to be grown-ups, but that you are in fact a grown-up and you are making the right and wise decisions with your money.
And sometimes it's encouragement that's needed, sometimes it's information that's needed. We aim to provide both.
Absolutely.
And I want to say too, there's a massive difference between a proper understanding of your skills and a belief in your abilities, and then cockiness, right? Those are two different things, because I think maybe sometimes people are like, well, imposter syndrome, well, the opposite of that is cockiness, but there's a middle ground here, you know, where, and again, it's a normal human feeling that you and I feel too at times, where it's like, why do they want us to speak on that? There are more qualified people, but still, it doesn't mean that we can't and shouldn't be working towards,
I would almost argue that, are there any more qualified folks than us? Is that borderline cocky?
That might be cocky. Okay. No, because I think there are people that are brilliant in so many spaces. Like when we talk about buying cars or something like that, it's something we have a lot of thoughts on. But there are also people who work in that industry all day, every day, right? Mm-hmm. And they have more information, more knowledge than us. But, we're doing our best. On the note of getting paid what you're worth, Matt, let's talk about negotiation just for a second, because the current inflation phenomenon has made that really more important than ever before. Or at least in the past 40 years, right? And the reality is that you're actually not getting a pay raise when you're getting a pay bump of less than 10%, because everything costs more. So if you get a 5% pay raise, you're getting paid less than you were getting paid just a year ago.
By the way, you just took a 3.6% pay decrease.
How do you feel about that? Not fun. Well, yeah, and when it comes to having that conversation with your boss, it's important, we would say, to be prepared, right? Have a few bullet points that you want to cover in that conversation, and inflation should be one of those. but it shouldn't be the only one. When it comes to that conversation, there's a lot more ground you want to cover. And it's important to note that ultimatums are rarely the best way to move forward. Like, give me that 20% pay raise or I'm out. That's not usually a good way to go forward. So finding like a win-win scenario, something that's good for your employer, good for your boss, and good for you is an important thing to hone in on. And be sure to arm yourself with information before you go into that discussion. And that probably means looking at sites like Glassdoor and Payscale to see what other people in similar positions are getting paid. And more than that, pointing to your prior results and future projects that you plan on working on at this company. Are they're important part of the equation too. So, you know, imposter syndrome, like we said, has this element of human nature to it. But don't let that mess with your need and your ability to ask for more money when it's merited.
That's right. Yeah. And so on that note, actually, we saw that more employers are making salaries more transparent when they post a job listing. Microsoft, they are the biggest employer to do this. And mostly this is in order to comply with Washington's new law. But LinkedIn, they say that they are seeing salary data on 25 to 30% of listings now. And so that's really helpful if you're specifically looking for a new job.
Yeah. I mean, it's always amazing to me that people are like, this job sounds great, but I have no idea what it pays, and I'm gonna apply for it. And so it is good to see, I think, employers listing them more readily, even if they don't have to, because what an annoying thing to go through some process for, you know, of submitting your resume and getting your hopes up when the salary isn't even close to what you were hoping or needing.
And they're not even being required to list out actual salaries, but just salary ranges.
Yeah.
And so I think a range can be really helpful, even if it's incredibly wide, depending on, you know, if it can be a similar position, but there's a big difference between somebody with 1.5 years worth of experience and somebody with 10 plus years of experience.
Yeah.
There can be a wide range, but even still, I think that can help, because it can help somebody, like in particular, somebody that has maybe a lot of experience, to see, cool, they understand that if I come in here, that I would probably be able to command the higher
range.
End of that spectrum. But, you know, while we're talking about work, let's touch on gig work for a second, because a recent survey from InsureRanks shows that 44% of folks say they need a side hustle to make ends meet. And we're bringing this up because we've talked about the insidious nature of gig work before. We talked about that back in episode 419. And there are, of course, you know, more gig jobs available now than ever before. But we believe that taking on a side hustle, like, that can be the quickest method to earn some extra cash. It's rarely going to be the most lucrative. It's not necessarily going to be the best option for you. Instead, we would prefer for you to increase your income by asking for a raise, like we just talked about, or by starting your own business, by hanging your own shingle, or even by getting a degree or a certificate within an industry where pay rates are going to be higher. We believe that gig work, for most folks, it should be seen as sort of a way to make a little side money quickly, but always remember that the advancement opportunities are going to almost always be non-existent in most gig work jobs. Oftentimes, gig work, it makes me think, Joel, of blue tarps.
Why?
let me lay this out for you. Specifically, you know, we've been experiencing some thunderstorms, and imagine like a hurricane that comes through, or just a big storm. A lot of times it takes down trees, takes down branches.
Okay, I think I know where you're going with this.
You know where I'm going with this. It'll punch a hole in your roof, right? And so you've got this problem, and the fastest way to keep that rainwater out of your house is you throw a tarp up on your roof. It's something that you can do really quickly with very little effort, or, you know, another company will show up and do that. And all of a sudden, the rain is no longer causing damage to your house. But here's the thing. You don't just kick back and say, the roof is fixed. This is a short-term solution. This is something that is keeping you from causing more damage. But you're not just resting on your laurels thinking that everything's fine. You're going to immediately seek to, okay, am I going to file an insurance claim? Basically, you're looking for ways that you can permanently fix that roof. You're looking for longer term solutions. And that's, I think, how we should oftentimes think about gig work. They are blue tarps. They are a way to immediately, very quickly, and easily generate some more income. But it isn't something that we should count on for the long term.
I agree. And it is one of those things where to see more people relying on it as a necessity To be able to pay their bills, like, that's frightening to me.
Yes.
And so we need to encourage people to, yeah, gig work can be that temporary relief for, like, a financial situation that you're trying to dig out of really quickly. But it's not a good long-term situation for almost anybody. And so most people should be working to make more money in other ways.
Totally.
I agree. But we've got more stories to get to, Matt. We got to talk about the housing market and how the rate increase is actually leading to more problems for renters. We'll talk about that and more right after this break. Kachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics, and in other words, everything your body craves to feel your best. This is where Kachava really earns their 52,000 plus five-star reviews. It tastes amazing. It's creamy and smooth with just water, and it comes in five delicious flavors. You can choose from chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, and coconut acai. Kachava is offering How to Money listeners 10% off for a limited time. I've been using Kachava in breakfast smoothies in the morning recently. It's just so nice to pack in a bunch of nutrients early in the a.m. in a way that's satisfying and energizing. So if you want to optimize your breakfast, your workout shake, be sure to check out Kachava. Just go to kachava.com/howtomoney. That's spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's kachava.com/howtomoney. Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So, if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. They are committed to high ethical standards and even had to pass a rigorous exam before they could become a CFP professional.
They offer financial planning and services that take a more comprehensive view of your financial and personal circumstances and are customized for your needs. Certified financial planner professionals can offer advice on a wide range of issues like reviewing your investment portfolio's allocation, handling an inheritance, rolling over a company retirement plan, building education savings, and so much more.
That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org. And now a word from the show's sponsors at Betterment. Do you want your money to dream big? Do you want your money to be a total self-starter? Are you annoyed that your money doesn't work hard enough? Don't worry, Betterment is here to help.
Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Their automated technology is built to help maximize returns, meaning when you invest with Betterment, your money can auto-adjust as you get closer to your goal. Rebalance if your portfolio gets too far out of line and your dividends are automatically reinvested. That can increase the potential for compound returns. In other words, your money is breaking a sweat while you can be breaking bread. You'll never picture your money the same way again.
Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.
Joel, longer days and warmer weather, it means our family is spending a lot more time outside. It's great. Like, literally yesterday, I was in the front yard, Kate was in the garden, and I was kicking the soccer ball around with a couple of the kids. I'm loving it. But something else that you can do for your family this spring, shopping for life insurance with Policy Genius as part of your financial planning for the year. Kate and I both have policies in place, and that means we have peace of mind so that if something were to happen to either of us, our family can cover expenses while getting back on our feet.
Yeah, with Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Even if you already have a life insurance policy through work, by the way, it may not have enough protection for your family's needs, and it may not follow you if you leave your job. On top of that, Policy Genius works for you, not the insurance companies. That means they don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance.
That's right. So save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. All right, we are back from the break, and Joel, like you said, we will get to that real estate, housing markets, interest rate story here in a second. But first, let's get to our ludicrous headline of the week. This is from Bloomberg, and the headline reads, Gen Z is making cash cool again. And first of all, like, we love all of our Zoomer listeners out there. Y'all are the best.
That just makes me think, though, that Gen Z can make anything cool because they're making mom jeans cool again. And, you know, my wife comments that it's only the young that can pull those jeans off.
No way, man. I think it's all about your attitude.
Okay.
Because, like, I remember growing up, I feel like this is going to be a tangent. Like, and I feel like this is going down territory I don't want to go down. But I remember when, like, low-rise jeans were a thing in high school, and I just remember thinking, yeah, those look really good. Like, I like how my girlfriend looks with those jeans on, not those high-waisted jeans. But now that, like, I'm married and Kate's wearing the mom jeans, and I'm like, I'm into those. Like, I like that. So I think it kind of comes down to the attitude a little bit.
Okay, all right.
But we're not trying to throw shade here to our Gen Z listeners, but with all the talk about everything going digital, the advent of payment platforms like Venmo, like Cash App, the rise of online shopping, one of our immediate thoughts was like who uses cash anyway, right?
I almost never use cash. I use cash more than I use checks, but not much more.
But yeah, it barely comes out ahead there. Like, I would not have believed this, but according to the stats, Gen Z actually likes paying with cash. Evidently, it's all the rage on TikTok, and some have said that paying with dollar bills that they have laying around, it actually means to them that item, that it's basically free. Like, it feels like it's free to them. You know, they're not factoring cash into their overall budget, which I totally get, but like, it also sounds like a potential recipe for maybe some frivolous spending where they're not keeping up with what they are spending their money on. But I will say, you know, there is a meaningful bright side to using actual cash, these real dollar bills, because one thing that's true is that you can't spend money that you don't have.
Yeah.
When the money runs out, you ain't got any more.
That is the biggest upside to cash,
yes.
Right? Is that you can't go into debt if you're only spending cash. And although Gen Z, like, it seems like they like cash more, obviously they're using other forms of payment as well, though.
There's like these different, so I mentioned the TikTok thing, there's these different trends where they're stuffing bottles full of cash, like spare cash, and then they just like smash them open for to spend it on something. But another one of the trends, which was really fascinating, was that they're using basically like the cash envelope system.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's coming full circle. And it's almost like we've got an entire generation that are about to become like Dave Ramsey followers or something.
Next, they're going to go get their Nokia brick phones and like get rid of their smartphones, which that actually is probably a better way to go. But
it'll likely lead to a healthier society.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if we all ditched our smartphones, we probably would be better off in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. although podcasts on your phone is nice. But yeah, I think the thing with cash, it certainly allows some folks to be more disciplined, you know, with their money in order to ensure that they don't go into debt. But it's also important to note that if you opt to pay with cash instead of paying with a credit card, you're not going to be racking up cash back or travel rewards.
That's right.
And those things add up in a meaningful way, right? And on top of that, it's not just those primary rewards, Matt. It's the secondary benefits that credit cards offer. Those can be significant, too. We actually talked about those in our How to Money newsletter on Tuesday.
That's right.
In that edition, which you should sign up for if you haven't yet. But yeah, we're talking like things like purchase protection, extended warranties, rental car insurance, and more, not to mention the fraud protection that comes alongside using a credit card. Those are all significant benefits. Using cash doesn't give you those things. And so, yeah, that's one of the main reasons that we prefer credit cards as a method of payment. Cash is still better than using a debit card because, yeah, debit cards are not our fave. And that's really because they don't offer the same legal protections that credit cards do. And so, like we always say, only use credit cards if you can pay that bill on time and in full. Otherwise, cash is a better, it's a better means of buying stuff than really anything else.
Yeah, and I will say too, so this past Wednesday, we had our wives on. We published that episode, right, that we recorded while we're at the beach. Mm-hmm. And we mentioned that paying for babysitters and like going out, like that's been our splurge lately.
Uh-huh.
And
they like cash, but I don't know, they probably get Cash App and stuff too,
well,
right?
You would think, but so the youngest babysitter we have, I think she's 17, I don't think she's 18 yet. She prefers cash. Like, she never wants to be paid via the Cash App or the Venmo.
Funny.
She's always asking to be paid in actual dollar bills. And so my cash wad that I've got in the sock drawer,
it's dwindling.
It's starting to get low because I literally cannot remember the last time I withdrew money from an ATM or asked for cash back, because that would have meant that I would have used a debit card. I haven't done that, I think, since high school.
Yeah.
But literally, it's been that long, and I just have just this random cash sitting around. This is an anecdote of where I have myself seen and experienced a Zoomer who prefers the cash.
Yeah, that's funny, because I'm like, no, pay me digitally all day, every day.
Yes. I do not want to touch the dirty stuff.
Exactly. And not because, you know, I'm afraid of your germs or anything like that.
No, I am, though.
I'm just like, where am I going to stuff it? I got this tiny little wallet.
Gross.
Like, yeah.
Dirty money, man.
I don't want to hang on to it.
It's
but
like, it's been in people's sweaty palm. And who knows where else, right?
Yeah, like, that's true. I don't think about that really, though.
Down on the sock?
My mind doesn't go there.
Okay.
but speaking of cash, Matt, the Wall Street Journal recently reported that American households, they're keeping more money in the bank than ever before. We have nearly $18 trillion in cash or cash equivalents sitting in the bank as a nation, which is a significant increase over the $12.8 trillion that we had set aside mm-hmm. before the pandemic began. And so that's where, you know, there is a lot of pent-up demand still. There's a lot of spending power that's basically just like waiting for the chance to pounce. And so what that means is that it's more important than ever, by the way, to make sure that you have that money earning the best rate possible. And
oh, yeah.
I saw that a lot of the big names in online banks are finally at that 1% level, like Discover, Ally, Marcus have all hit that. But
and they're proud of it.
They are. They're like, look at us. Look what we've done. But when you think about how fast other rates are rising, it seems insignificant, right? Mm-hmm. You're like, you're not keeping up with, you know, the general trend of mortgage rates or other things that are costing more. But CIT actually bumped their rate up from 1.2 to 1.35. So they're significantly higher than the others. And so, yeah, if you're one of those people who finds himself with more cash on hand and you want to keep it liquid, changing banks, especially if you're one of the big banks, makes a whole lot of sense right now.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're big fans of CIT, and we'll make sure to link to where you could open an account with them. We want you earning the most money you can possible on that cash, on that emergency fund, on that cushion that you've got sitting around. Joel, you know, we talked about rising interest rates on the podcast last week. They've made buying a house much less affordable these days. In fact, the typical homebuyer has lost $165,000 in purchasing power since the end of last year
Wow.
due to the increase in rates.
That's a big number when you think about 3% hike in rates, and you're like, okay, that sounds like a meaningful number. But when you translate that to how much less of a house you can afford,
an actual purchase price,
it really sinks in.
It is. It's substantial. Yeah, absolutely. And this means that it's kind of derailed the plans of a lot of Americans when it comes to home buying, and it's meant that a lot of folks are being forced to keep renting. We'll talk about that here in a second, but like others are taking out adjustable rate mortgages in order to snag a slightly lower rate, which lessens the blow of those interest rate spikes that a lot of folks are experiencing right now.
And I think, Matt, you and I, we've maybe kind of changed our tune a little bit recently on adjustable rate mortgages. And that's one of those things that we have normally suggested that people take out a 30-year fixed rate mortgage or a 15-year fixed rate mortgage and lock it in, especially as rates were incredibly low, right? When rates were in the upper twos on a 30-year fixed mortgage, we were like, this is like a bird in the hand. Like, you don't want to let this one go, lock it in. But adjustable rate mortgages are able to, at this point in time, save people sometimes quite a bit on a home purchase and when it comes to that monthly payment. And so, yeah, I just took out actually my first ever adjustable rate mortgage on the house we just bought.
On the place that you're about to move into
That's right. It's mm-hmm. a 10-1 ARM. And so the rate can't change for 10 years. And there's a lot that can happen in 10 years. And so, yeah, interestingly enough, we're actually going to talk.
Including rates. Go back down to, hopefully, you know, in your case, historic lows again.
Right. And so, yeah, there's always a chance to refinance in the future. We actually talked about this on an episode that's going to come out Monday that we recorded with Sam Dogan, the financial samurai. He's been a big proponent of adjustable rate mortgages for years. And so, yeah, you can hear maybe a little more of Sam's thoughts and our thoughts on that on Monday.
That's right. Yeah. So let's talk about renters, though, for a second, because honestly, housing in general has skyrocketed in cost, affecting both renters and homebuyers in much of the same way. But with the recent uptick in mortgage rates, it's looking like more folks are opting to not buy the new home and to keep renting instead. According to some recent stats, owning a home is far more expensive than renting right now. And so what that means is that, like, even with meaningful rent increases that a lot of folks are experiencing, it's still a really competitive market. And so while we're actually seeing fewer bidding wars on with single family homes.
Yeah, for buying a house, we're seeing
starting to
more
cool
price drops,
a little bit. Yeah, those bidding wars are actually becoming more common for desirable rental units, which is crazy. And so let's talk about what you can do about that, because unfortunately there's no silver bullet, but we would recommend that you go listen back to episode 469. That's where we talked about different ways to reduce your rent. Justin Pogue, we talked with him, and he had some really helpful tips. But our two cents is that staying put and negotiating with your current landlord can be, we think that can be the best scenario if you like where you live, if you don't want to move. Because even still, you know, with vacancies near the lowest they've ever been, for a landlord, losing a great tenant, you know, or even just missing 1 month of rent, it is not in their best interest. That is 100% what they're trying to avoid. And that is what you can use to your advantage, especially, hopefully, you've always paid your rent on time. You are a tenant that is desirable to that landlord. They want to keep you around. They want their life to be easy. So look for ways to make their life easy. Start that conversation now.
Yeah, signing a longer lease is another one of those things that you can offer, you know, and it might be interesting to at least some landlords. So Matt, for instance, my most recent tenants, like they were like, we're totally willing to sign a longer lease if that's something you're into. And it was, I mean, I'm like, that's great. It makes it easier for me. And I don't have to worry about vacancy. And so it just, for me as like a mom and pop style landlord, I'm down with those longer, leases, locking in their price for longer and making me feel more comfortable. So I think those are the kind of things you need to, as a renter, be aware of, because that can help you negotiate a better rate on your rent. And you know, real estate trends, they obviously vary from market to market. So yeah, in some of the markets that saw the biggest upward swing, I'm looking at you, Idaho, we're seeing more, or Boise in particular, we're seeing quicker price drops in a lot of those markets. And so it's just, it's important to know what's going on in your particular market before you decide to offer too much for a rental unit that isn't actually in high demand, because bidding wars are happening in some places, but it's dependent on where you live specifically. You don't want to necessarily go in there and be like, I know you're charging $1,500 for this, but I'll offer you $2,000 when that landlord says, well, huh, that wasn't even my radar. I haven't even shown this to anybody.
It's
else.
Like, absolutely, I will take that.
Right.
Deal.
There's ways to ask good questions to kind of figure out how in demand your market is or that particular unit might be.
That's right. Yeah. So, Joel, let's kind of wrap things up here. We're going to celebrate America here on Monday. We hope everyone has a lovely holiday weekend, celebrating the holiday with friends and family. But I feel like oftentimes a lot of our stories do have to do with inflation.
Well, it's kind of dominating our world in a lot of ways right now.
So inflation is going to make that cookout a little more costly. Bloomberg had an article about what the typical family is going to have to shell out in order to host a cookout. And as I'm sure you've guessed, it's not going to be pretty. Ground beef prices are up 36% over the past year. If you prefer chicken, still going to be up a ton. We're looking at 33%, even pork and beans.
Oh, your favorite.
I did actually like pork and beans as a child. Oh, yeah. Even that's up 33%. And so keep that in mind as you are at the grocery store, considering what you're going to buy for this weekend. Sort of a silver lining here. Strawberries are actually cheaper than they were last year. Not sure how that happened. But as always, like, where you shop matters the most. We're big fans of Costco, of Aldi.
There's Lidl. That's the closest grocery store to where
we are now. There's a Lidl close to us, and we have not yet been.
I'm so stoked.
Have you been there yet?
Well, I've been into Lidl's before, but I've not been into this one.
Not to your local Lidl.
And, well, there was one by where we used to live, where we just moved from. It had not opened yet.
Yeah. Okay. I thought it had just
opened. No, we were so excited to check it out, and it still hadn't opened by the time we left. But no, I can't wait to get over there. And it's kind of like an Aldi on steroids. It's like just a little bit bigger.
A little bit bigger.
A little more selection.
My impression is that it's a little bit nicer.
Yeah, a little bit nicer maybe. But the prices are still supposed to be just incredibly low.
It's the hoity-toity Aldi.
We'll give our thoughts on that after we actually venture in there.
We will share our thoughts on that soon, for sure. But we wanted to share this story because avoiding some of these items that have gone up in price the most, that's a smart move as well.
Yeah.
We want you to take that into account. We always want you to consider making some tweaks to your spending when it comes to finding ways to spend less.
That's right. So we hope you have a great weekend. Have a great July 4th. And we will see you back here on Monday. It's Financial Independence Week on How to Money next week. And we will be talking, like I said, with Financial Samurai, Sam Dogan, on Monday's episode. Hope you get a chance to listen. Sam has been incredibly thoughtful about all things personal finance for more than a decade on his site. And so, yeah, I can't wait for y'all to hear that episode.
That's right. So Joel, buddy, that's going to be it for the inaugural episode that we're recording in our new space. Until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.
When When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bededa. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.